start the podcast with that, and then I couldn't remember how to start the podcast, and now I'm blanking entirely on how to start the podcast.
Greetings, after posse.
Yeah, I was about to say, I believe it's greetings, after posse, and buckle up for the sex. But I'm not sure anymore, so it's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts? James.
Jenna, and very special guest.
New phone, who dis?
Oh, god damn it, Steve. It's my baby brother.
Oh, yeah.
It of me. The Pennsylvania new phone, who dis is?
Yes.
So
I had such an opportunity.
Yay.
I had such an opportunity when I changed my name for marriage that we could have been the new phone who dis is.
Nice.
Like, but spell it so that it's easy to pronounce correctly, but looks atrocious.
Oh yeah, like with extra H's and
yeah. And if I'm gonna have to spell my name, it might as well be hilarious.
HODAS. HODAS.
Yeah.
Well, like. NUFOANHOUHOUDIS.
It's more Q's.
J'accuse.
Now I'm in a lot of hot water with the Japanese mafia.
Oh, no.
All right.
Anyway, should we do our things? What's everybody drinking?
I have an Indeed Brewery Lavender Sunflower Honey Dates Honey Ale. Ooh. Which, this can is beautiful, too.
That is lovely. It's all pretty purples with a lady with a daisy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a guy that looks like me on here.
Oh my god, that guy does kind of look like you.
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay, so James, do you look like hippies, or do hippies look like you?
I think I look like hippies. Hippies not on purpose.
Right.
Yeah, not only that, but when I hilariously rented a VW microbus while I was in Hawaii, I was approached by someone who said, I think I'm supposed to give this to you. Because you look like you guys might be hippies. And I was like, okay. What are we receiving? It was a stone taken from the ocean that had holes worn into it in order to make it a natural bong.
I see.
And he was like, I feel like Pele is telling me that you need this. This should go with you. Yeah. Mm. So
you must smoke from this now.
We did. Okay.
The holy bong of
when Mother Earth says.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Pele's like a fire
god. Yeah.
So. Yeah. And,
So I guess fire it up?
I personally only smoked a little bit because I get vertigo.
Yes.
Yeah, THC products give me vertigo, but I don't know. Yeah, we shared around the...
I mean, I don't smoke,
natural stone pipe.
If that story was taking place, I would at least a puff before passing. Yeah.
Not even two puffs, though. Just one puff.
Well, just the one. You got to participate in that, though. Like,
yeah,
you can't just be like, it wouldn't be a tiny little puff because you have to be part of the story. But yeah, I otherwise I just fall asleep.
You did not inhale.
No, I totally did. I'm not presidential material. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I am drinking one of my amazing rum and ginger ale concoctions. It is limon rum, white rum. So it's got lime.
Mm-hmm.
It's more lime than lemon, but it's a limey rum. And it goes.
Oi, a limey rum, will ya?
Good. Goes so good with zero sugar Canada Dry.
He says in a badly mixed Cockney Irish fucked up accent. Yeah.
Oh my God, let me tell you a horrible story that happened earlier today.
All right.
Yeah, no, accents. So, Joe.
Yes, accents.
So Joe and I have decided that we're gonna watch Battlestar Galactica because neither one of us has seen it all the way through, right?
Okay.
And so we started with what is listed as the pilot, but like the pilot was actually a mini series, right? It was like three separate episodes of a mini series. I did not know this. Joe passed out right away, and I ended up like, oh my God, this is a long-ass pilot. Like, and I pause, and I'm halfway through it because they just smushed all of the episodes into one thing, and I was like, ah, oh, son of a bitch.
Well, it's an OVA.
So, Joe passed out right away. I watched the entirety of it because I'm a completionist, and there was no way I wasn't going to be able to, And then I told Joe about it earlier today. I was like, yeah, so it's like a 3 hours. And he was like, man, I'm sorry you had to stay up for a 3 hour pilot. Oh, man, I'm Chinese again.
Oh, no.
I was just like, Joe.
I'm glad that he can make that joke.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So anyway, Steve, you drinking anything?
I think I'm drinking the exact same thing I drank last time, which is the purple.
Ah, the purple. Get you that purple drink.
Generic Mio in the grape flavor.
Yes.
Not even the real Mio, but the generic.
The generic Mio. Yeah.
It's cheaper at the pharmacy if you get the generics.
Right.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Insurance will cover more that way.
True.
God. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, listeners, we are recording without Salsa. He has ostensibly better things to do with his time.
Son Salsa. Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe he'll tell you stories about it next week. Maybe he won't. Who knows?
Maybe.
Probably will.
I'm guessing he will.
I mean, I'm going to tune in.
Seems
if like he is where I think he is. I'm going to let him tell you, though. Next week.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We'll be opening the betting pool.
Yeah. James, what have you been up to?
I went to a concert.
Did you know?
Yes. And had people over for a bad movie night.
I was about to ask, was this concert a giant?
It might be.
Ooh.
Giant concert?
Yeah. So we watched terrible movies. We watched Birdemic. And then talked about a bunch of movies, good and bad. But we ended up ending the night on Stardust, which was fantastic, always.
Okay.
One of the games that we played during the movie review-all is one of my new favorite things, and it is a set of three. You figure out three movies that go together.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Like, for example, one of my suggested sets was Encino Man, Bill and Ted, and Back to the Future.
Time travel.
Somebody is moving through time. They're stoner comedies. They are also coming of age stories.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know if I'd call Back to the Future stoner movie, but
right. I was like that one.
Well, not like not a stoner movie.
Although I'm sure.
he had a non-medical license. Not necessarily like a stoner comedy in that it has to do with doing drugs. Because Bill and Ted also not that.
No,
Encino Man, pretty much. But
like I think I get the idea.
Yeah stoner humor, but I still don't know if I'd call it stoner.
What would we call it?
That's subjective, I guess.
That is a subjective one.
Like juvenile dick and fart joke movie? Or what's...
The thing is that I don't think that, from what I remember of Back to the Future, there's not as much dick and fart joke type stuff. There's not as much...
Yeah all I remember in the dick and fart joke was the Marty McFly.
Well, like Biff gets...
The bully Biff, yeah.
Yeah, Biff gets hit with a load of manure.
He does. But, like, it's not a main threat.
Yeah, that happens in City Slickers, too, though, and I wouldn't call that a stoner
also
movie.
True. No, yeah. That one is a different coming-of-age story.
Like, I mean, it is an it's like a coming movie, of middle age. And therefore, like, I'm sure that stoners will enjoy it. The 80s just kind of has its own vibe. Is it?
I believe it's late 80s.
Oh, Back to the Future? Yeah.
Too, but I wasn't sure. I'm doubting myself again.
Well, I'm pretty sure Back to the Future is late 80s. There's a
I want to say 87, and I'm letting somebody else Google it so that they can confirm that I'm bad at dating things.
1985.
Oh, okay. Was 287 then?
Well, at least you shot over and not probably. Under.
Okay.
That's important.
$1. Yeah.
No, you should always shoot over as opposed to under in dating. That was my
Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2 was 1989.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just took the average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going for.
Average. Yeah, the medium.
I think you're both correct.
They all happen to be the same.
Stoner comedy is not the correct term.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call it. But, yeah. It's coming of age movies film. With...
Definitely coming of age. Definitely time travel.
Right.
I would even give you wacky adventure.
They are all full of hijinks.
Yes.
True.
So I would give you wacky adventure on that.
All right.
For sure.
But yeah, we were trying to figure out, like, just based on one movie, sometimes like Clue, what movie would you put with Clue?
I mean, I would just put two other Tim Curry movies together with Clue.
Yeah, that's tempting. I mean,
right?
That is very tempting.
But, okay, with Clue... At least one of the other movies would have to be Muppet Treasure Island.
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
And so the third movie would have to be a Tim Curry movie that maintains that kind of high energy vibe.
Right.
Right? Like Legend is not going to cut
no.
it in this scenario. Yeah. It has to be another high energy Tim Curry movie.
Yeah.
I think.
And preferably comedy.
Preferably comedy, yeah.
Was the McHale's Navy movie... That was a comedy. I don't think it was as madcap as...
No. It's hard to do, like, wartime comedies in that same madcap.
Right.
Yeah.
But...
Huh. We had chosen Glass Onion and Murder by Death.
Okay.
And then we were trying to figure out what third movie goes with. If you have Stardust and Princess Bride, what is your third movie?
Ever After.
Oh, that's a really good suggestion. Nobody thought of it.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Stardust is the Neil Gaiman piece, right?
Stardust is.
Okay. Yep, it's just confirming because sometimes names get jumbled.
Yeah. And yeah. Ever After is that the Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
Cinderella story.
Yep.
With Da Vinci and yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah, that's a tremendous suggestion. Because some of the other suggestions that we had were. Oh, go ahead.
Into the Woods.
Oh. Hmm. Wow. Our criteria for the other two were Swords and Sorcery. So it has to be a world where magic exists.
Right.
Love Conquers All. Because that's, you know, how both of the other two movies end. And they have to be comedies. Yeah.
Okay.
Romantic comedies. Yeah. So I think Ever After is an outstanding suggestion. Because some of the other ones were Pirates of the Caribbean. You've got swordplay. You've got sorcery. You know, curses and things like that.
A little bit. Sorcery. I'll give you sorcery on that one. Yeah.
Thank you. And where I had contention is it isn't necessarily love that wins through everything. I mean,
there's
a romantic story
wins in the end.
I mean, there's that. Yeah. That was one. Dragonheart was another suggestion, but that one isn't a love story.
It's not comedic either.
It's not. Yeah. So, but that's the game. And we had a blast playing that. And then Saturday night, I went to They Might Be Giants, the second of three nights. Concert. Yes. And my date for that could not be there. My friend Garrick could not be there and very kindly offered me the tickets to go with somebody else. So I did.
Okay.
And then bumped into a dozen people.
Everybody
that I know.
I heard everybody was at that concert.
It was a blast.
I mean,
not everybody.
If you had the option, would you be at They Might Be Giants?
Yeah.
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 But yeah. Yeah. Had an outstanding time. They did a cool thing that they did last tour as well. But I got video of it this time. I don't want to be the kind of person who records video of a concert ever, but they did something real specific and I just wanted to get that thing. The entire band memorized a song in reverse. The singers are singing the lyrics backward. The guitarists are like playing the strum pattern and the fingering patterns and everything completely backward, including the transitions between notes. And the drummer is functionally drumming backward because they have to, the pattern has to be completely flipped.
I was about to say, instead of a boom tick, it's a tick boom.
But that, and also, if there are
all the other patterns, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, just a fucking incredible. They sing the song backward, and they record it locally, and then they play it forward. So they sing it backward.
Oh,
the film. And play it forward.
See how accurate it is to the.
Oh my god! Oh, that's good.
And it is. It is. It's a song from their album Flood, for a brand new record for 1990. They Might Be Giants brand new album Flood. And so they play the song Sapphire Bullets of Pure Love forward, because it is the reversed backward footage. Yeah.
So that means they're not only singing the words backwards, they're singing each individual letter backwards. Like the sounds backwards.
Yes. Yeah. The phonemes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It is crazy to listen to, but I got video of it this year, and I have gone to the trouble of reversing it, the tiny amount of difficulty that existed in reversing it. And I'll put those into the chat once this episode goes up. Yeah. And then, yesterday decided to, go to a hardware store. Yesterday was Father's Day, and, made a bold move to go to a hardware store.
Yeah.
It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it did take all of my energy. Yeah.
I don't believe that.
There were, in fact, fathers.
There were many. But, but important.
Steve, maybe you and I should have gone to the hardware store for Father's.
You could have. Look at me. I'm your dad now. Nobody wants this. Literally nobody wants this. So I got a bunch of important stuff, and visited my dad afterward to celebrate. And
so
my
you
sister
didn't
made.
Bring your dad to the hardware store?
No.
You saw everybody else's dads, and then you went to go see yours.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Mm. Yeah. By that time, I was ready to see my own father, and
All those other fathers made you think of your own father.
Aww.
Weirdly, a little bit.
You just had plans.
We did.
I'm assuming this was a planned thing, and it was just time. But whatever.
My sister made delicious food.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You said that as if it's a surprise. Does your sister not generally make delicious food?
No, she makes delicious food all the time. I just always appreciate. I just always like. It's always amazing. Yeah. She made pasta and shrimp and little crostinis with the caprese salad on it. It was fucking fantastic. And nice. then we came home and collapsed. And since I got so many things done and did so many things over the weekend, I gave myself permission to do fuck all today, because I installed lighting in the basement and stuff yesterday after we got home. Which I guess then after that I collapsed, but so that was my week. How are you folks doing?
I mean, yesterday was a Sunday, and I went to the gym. Everybody that would have been at the gym was apparently at the hardware store. It was relatively empty. Robin and I did arm day. It sucked. There were muscles that we haven't really been focusing on that, like, now today I'm like, oh shit, that hurts. There was one machine in particular, that I was like, that is an active torture device. That is not a machine. that is a literal torture device. And she was like, you haven't even tried it yet. I'm like, I don't have to. I already know. It was a machine for doing crunches, but like while you're sitting, like basically you grab up overhead and then you in and then
I love
up.
That
I couldn't do but two of them. I literally could not. And then we figured out later that maybe if we had adjusted the chair we'd have been able to, but I refuse. That machine is dead to me now. Never again. Too late. And then I'm like pull-ups, and we did Skull Crushers, which is like...
So that
like
sounds unpleasant.
It's not as bad as it sounds. So when you bench press, you have the weights at your chest, and you just push straight up, right?
Yeah.
And then you bring it down to your chest and go straight up. Skull Crushers, you go from that straight up position, and you basically bring it over back towards your head. So you're not bringing it down to your chest, you're bringing it back towards your head.
So it's with an elbow bend.
Triceps.
Huh? Yeah, that's a tricep one. Good job.
Dang.
That's what hurts today. My triceps and my armpits. Your armpits hurt. I don't know.
I've maybe been there.
But anyway, I was like, after this medieval torture device and the pull-ups and like the everything else that we were doing, I was like, I don't want to do something called Skull Crushers. I'm going to rename it. So I renamed it to Forehead Boops.
Aw.
I know, right? Doesn't that lovely? You just it's take the weight better. Set and you're just and you bringing it towards your forehead and you boop your forehead.
Welcome like you're to supposed my to go
like not, you're not. Forehead necessarily pulse to boot your forehead, but it's basically
that too is going through my mind.
Yeah.
What was going through it? I was talking
about Skull Crusher Mountain.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I've just learned to talk over what other people say because otherwise
I mean fair
to say things.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I started just booping my forehead.
Yeah.
As opposed to counting. Because that was way easier and more exciting.
It's tough, but fair.
So yeah, I was pretty excited by that.
Excellent.
Renamed that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, Saturday I had a ladies' night. I love hanging out with my ladies.
Mm-hmm.
What did I know? I did something else that I was going to talk about, and I don't remember.
Remember.
And I had rehearsal. And there is something delicious about doing fight choreography.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't want to talk about that too much, in case people come to see the show.
Yeah.
So.
In case, if you're interested, you probably should go and see the show.
Probably should go and see the show. I don't have the information to post and link or anything yet, so. Just know that there's a show coming that you should probably go to.
It's true.
It was
interesting.
Uh-oh.
Salsa. It's fine overall. Like, but I think Salsa may have gotten to see a different side of me than you've seen before. One of my pet peeves is when people make suggestions on how we could do the choreography while I'm trying to choreograph it.
Oh, did you go into full director mode?
Oh, no, I went into fight choreographer mode, which is meaner than director mode.
Oh, shit. I've seen you in director mode, and that's scary enough.
Yeah. I'm not nice, because my job is to keep people safe. It is not my job to be nice.
Yep.
My job is to keep people safe, and that means they have to listen to me. End of story. And, like, of all of the people in that room, Salsa does have the most, leeway as far as what if we did this kind of thing. Because he's the director.
Yeah.
So if it fits better with the story he wants to tell, there's a little bit of give and take there. But I was trying to figure out how I wanted to get my people out of a specific situation. And he was like, well, what if you did this? And I'm like, Remember what I said at the beginning where I was like, this is not really collaborative and don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
It's just like, no.
Have to be like, Salsa, do you remember when I told you to shut up forever?
I mean, the thing is, though, like, I've done podcasting with him for how many years? You'd think I'd figure that out. He's not here to defend himself. So anyway.
That's true.
But no, like overall, it was a fine time. But yeah, the fight choreographer, Jenna, is definitely different. And yeah, there's a new side of me to see. So, I swear to God, I did something else that I was going to talk about. Fuck.
Does it have to do with...
Do not know.
Convergence at all?
I mean, I've been working on party room stuff, but yeah, that's an ongoing process. That's 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like I made and ordered badge ribbons. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about those. Mm-hmm. I found a rug that I think is going to work in the party room really, really well. It honestly, like the middle of it looks like a white lotus, more or less.
Nice.
Huh?
I said nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've gotten a few of those. And I'm trying to figure out how to make all the bits and bobs go for the party room.
Yeah.
That wasn't what I was going to talk about either. I cannot remember, and it's driving me insane a little bit.
Hmm.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty much been my week.
We'll come back to it. Yeah.
Steve, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? When was the last time we talked?
I don't know.
Oh.
Been a while.
It's been a while.
I'm almost positive I had this desk, though. So it couldn't have been that long.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it 6 months.
I don't think I've gotten the 3D printer since then.
I didn't hear about you doing 3D printing. So
yeah, I got me a 3D printer.
Nice.
Yeah. It prints in 3D.
Appropriate.
All right. That sounds like it's doing what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I got an FDM printer, which is pretty much, it feeds a plastic into a very hot tube.
Yes.
That melts it, and then it builds up.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So it's like a hot glue gun.
But right.
Very, very precise.
Is it okay if I ask you, do you know the make and model?
It is an Anycubic Neo. Yes.
Yeah. And so you said it's a filament rather than... like they've got the epoxy resin. Baths or resin baths.
Yeah.
Ones that use a laser to activate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it lifts your completed structure out of the bath.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me.
There's the ones that start at the bottom and go up, and the ones that start at the top and go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the SLAs are interesting tech because essentially what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the resin that they're using is a UV reactive resin.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're hitting it with UV particles, which create radicals, which bond together at like microscopic level.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting tech there. Mine is just a glue gun that's really, really accurate.
Accurate Glue Gun is the name of my second album.
Nice.
Accurate Glue Gun is the name of my sex tape.
I mean,
yeah, I guess.
That works, but like, I don't want to think about it.
I ain't agin it, but I sure as hell ain't fur it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
So
good. Good. Good.
Yeah, 3D printing has been interesting. I've mostly been doing it for like practical things, like I need a bracket for a thing. Now I have a bracket for a thing.
Isn't that fucking wild?
Yeah, it's great just being able to be like, I am missing a piece.
Yeah.
And I am somewhat decent at 3D modeling.
Hey.
I could make a piece.
That is definitely a skill. That's something that I'm trying to pick up. What program do you use for yours?
I'm using FreeCAD.
FreeCAD?
It's free and a CAD. That
makes sense. Well, yeah.
How very aptly
truth
named.
In advertising.
And I did a little bit of like CAD work in like high school.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, 20 plus years ago,
right.
You tend to forget a few things.
Sure. Like you still things have tend the to change.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the concepts.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I know that extruding does a thing and how to put holes in things and but
intentionally?
Yes.
Even better.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. No, that's fantastic. I'll have to check out FreeCAD because I've tried Tinkercad. There's not
Tinkercad is great for basic stuff.
Right. He was trying to make a complex compound shape. Of like a Zelda rupee shape, and doing that badly is very easy in Tinkercad. But
yeah, you need to have like two triangles or pyramids stuck together, mm-hmm. and then you'd have to shave off the pyramids using other
And the bevels were what got me. That eventually became overly frustrating. But I was kind of hoping that I would be able to use my experience with vector graphics. Okay. But it does seem like something where I'm going to have to learn an entirely brand new thing.
Yeah, like FreeCAD might work better for you if you know vector graphics.
Sure.
Because it starts out as a 2D vector drawing.
Oh, great.
And then you just be like, I want it to be this thick. And then you can start shaving off sides from there.
Nice. Wow.
So.
Sounds pretty ideal.
Might be up your alley.
It might be. That's fantastic. I'm really enamored with the thing that a friend clued me into, which is that a lot of IKEA stuff and like Target things and whatever, that people have gone and printed things for those organizational systems. So if you get the IKEA pegboard system, which is called SCADIS, SCADIS?
Sure.
It's got the two tittles over it, the umlaut, over the A. Stefan Senpai is screaming it now. As
I believe that's an A.
But, people print fucking incredible stuff for that. So you can get designs for that for really incredibly specific controller brackets and charging stations and all kinds of stuff that they don't sell for that, but that you can print at home.
Right.
And you can build at home. And that's what a wild time
and the fact that so much of it is open source too, like people will just post things and be like have and share and print.
It reminds me a lot of early internet
and of course there are people who are doing like the printer farms and they've got an idea that they want to sell, and I don't fault them for that either, but
no, not at all. If you put money and labor into something, fantastic. Right now I'm trying to get my 3D printer up and running, which is not necessarily a request for anybody to assist. I'm just trying to get it to connect to Clipper, which is, I'm trying to get my print host connecting to Clipper, which is the kind of the printer firmware. So I'm using Mainsail OS to run from a Raspberry Pi to act as a network print host, and then I'm trying to connect it to Clipper, which should, if I have it configured correctly, should manage the printer. That kind of thing. But that's
something I might recommend since you're using Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
There's an OS called Octoprint.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Which might be easier to connect.
It might be.
But it's all up to you as to what you want to do.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and ultimately, I can flash the firmware, the factory firmware,
to it and just run it like a regular printer as well.
Right.
And you know, carry down an SD card whenever I want to print something.
Right.
It's not the worst thing ever. I'm really excited to get into 3D printing, and one of the things that's available for the SCADIS pegboard system is you can get these shelves that look like big flat mushrooms, which I think look really cool.
Kind of mushrooms that grow out of like a tree.
Yeah. The ones that make like little steps. Somebody's designed absolutely gorgeous ones that you just print. I think that kind of stuff is fucking fascinating, and I'm looking forward to hopefully like honing my 3D modeling capability so that I can build fun things to print and maybe even like kits to build things. Would also be really cool. But yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. What is your favorite thing that you've printed so far? Or what is the most useful thing that you've
Those might be two different questions.
They might be.
I mean, half of this computer desk is being held together with 3D printed shit.
Ah.
Yeah.
For instance, this computer desk is like, it's got a hinge.
Mm-hmm.
So it can rotate. This desk is rotated in front of me, and I can push it out so that it goes flat against the wall instead of being the L shape that it is now.
Oh.
And when I originally got this desk,
mm-hmm.
Is that the one I gave you?
No.
Is that the shelving thing? Okay.
Well, the shelving, it's similar to that shelving thing, though.
Okay.
Pretty much the same idea. The when I got this, the hinge, like the outside part of the hinge,
mm-hmm.
had pushed its way out of the box and was in some truck somewhere.
Oh. Rude.
So I printed one.
Ah, yeah.
And then on the other end, I used to have my tablet on this hinged part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a 40-pound tablet plus all the other monitors. And the wheel housings would crack every 6 months, let's say.
Yeah.
So I've been able to design and print up new wheels housings.
That's amazing.
So,
yeah.
As far as useful, those are the kinds of things that I've been able to print.
Mm-hmm.
And just save me tons of money.
I'm kind of hoping to get into 3D scanning. Because I have an old office chair from like the 1940s that I want to repair, and one of the cowlings for a leg is broken. So one of them just sort of ends abruptly above the wheel and doesn't have like a nice round place for your foot.
Okay.
Also the arms have come off. So it's just the steel rails that they would sit on. Because a lot of phones now have like a LiDAR detection grid built into them for face scanning, for all kinds of stuff. You can use apps to 3D scan objects. And then those can be imported into some 3D modeling programs, and you can build up from them. And so the idea that I could make replacement parts for this chair I love it. I love this idea, especially just using home technology that people have. I think it's great.
I ended up just using calipers for my stuff, but you know.
Sure. I mean, that works too.
But yeah, as far as like favorite thing that I've made.
Yeah.
So something that I've been making out of leather is these dice boxes.
Hmm.
So it's like 2-part dice box. Okay. It's got the base and then the lid. And the lid turns into the roller. And the dice can sit in the base.
Oh, okay.
So
they're
I've,
pretty cool.
Yeah. I've 3D printed an insert for those.
Mm-hmm.
With like sections. So you can have rows of dice. And like I play Cyberpunk Red, so I've got little bullets that I've printed up for ammo tracking. And those go in one of the sections. And I've got little tokens and things that I've printed up. And it's just, I've got this customized thing for the game that I play. And I can lift out the insert and put in a new insert the next game. That I, like, if I could put in a D&D focused one that has like a spell tracker or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the favorite thing. I think. It's just
I like that a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I think the dice box thing is just such a fantastic design, and I think you did a really good job with it.
I get confident enough, I wouldn't mind selling those, but
sure.
It's getting the confidence to be like, I'm going to set up an Etsy shop and make a product that I feel is quality enough to be sent out to a consumer.
Yeah.
But I've done things like, I've gotten like a manual sewing machine, like a crank sewing machine. And leather, and I got like a rivet press. So I've bought things that can make things more uniform.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of making steps to do something like that.
Yeah, you've basically got like a studio workshop.
I do. Room is a studio at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my 3D printer in here. I've got my computer so I can model and 3D print in here. I've got a desk that's set up for like staining leather and doing like wet leather work.
Wow.
And I've got a desk for like punching and sewing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of insane. And this is in like a less than 10 by 10 square foot.
Right. Yeah. An economy of space. Yeah. Which I think is fucking fantastic. I was going to say one of the cooler things that I've seen printed that like spoke very deeply to a need that I have, which is completely fucking ridiculous, is if you remember from like Space Legos and Aquanauts and that kind of thing, they had the angled piece that sat on 4 Lego studs and had the 2 Lego studs on the top, and it would have a little drawing of a computer on it.
Oh, yeah.
And they had like a dozen or more of them with different kinds of computers or different things that you could do. And someone has that print available as a tablet stand or a place that you can put button decks. For doing macro operations and that kind of stuff.
Like a Steam Deck or something like that.
And a Steam Deck. And so Charles' best friend, former landlord, effectively has a Steam Deck built in as the face of this little computer Lego that
it
is human-sized with big Lego studs up on the top that say Lego on them. It's incredible. Yeah, it is completely pointless, but I cannot recommend it more highly than
right.
It's so fucking satisfying.
I actually have like a 7-inch monitor that I could.
There you go. I'm not saying. But I am like saying, yeah, it would be an incredible charging dock for a Switch. That kind of stuff. But yeah, no, that's great. aside from 3D printing and fun leather crafts, is there anything else that you've been getting up to?
I guess I've been doing stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of it. The stuff that I've been doing has been fairly general maintenance. And like a lot of little things that I don't know are worthy about talking about. I got one of those make it yourself screen kits.
Oh.
And I've got one of the window ACs.
Mm-hmm.
So I took out those accordion things.
Mm-hmm.
And put the screens in there. And then I can put boards over that.
Yeah.
So that I can remove the boards on good days and still have airflow.
And that's a really good idea.
Put the boards back when I don't. Just little things like that, you know?
Yeah. Home things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Also, I've learned how to grind my own beef.
Did I know this? I know you were talking about it.
I was talking about it. I had bought the chuck with you.
Yeah.
But I hadn't actually, like, given an end result. I got a Ninja... It's like a food processor. What's it called? Master Prep.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like a food processor thing, and then it's also got like a smoothie.
Master Ninja thing. Food Prep.
And like, I made ground beef with it. Like,
awesome.
Yeah.
It was a test to see what it could do, and it could do.
And it could.
I love Ninja Kitchen products.
It also liquefies onions, apparently.
Ooh.
Like, I'm not talking, like, dices.
Yeah.
No, you're talking, like, pre-onion soup.
Yes.
Soup.
It is a paste.
Yeah. I like it.
Onion paste.
Yeah, just little things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I mean, small home improvement stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Honestly, you're doing more home improvement stuff than I have been recently.
I can't think of anything else that I've been up to.
I felt so bad. Like, I've got that clover lawn going, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I keep meaning to trim it down. My clover is now, like, almost a foot tall, and I'm like,
jeez.
Wow.
I should really... Yeah.
I didn't know clover really got that high.
I didn't realize it could do that either. I didn't think this was going to be a maintenance thing.
Yeah?
I was like, 6 inches is fine. No, it's basically, like, when it rains, it falls over.
Oh.
And I'm just like, oh, buddy.
The sad clover.
But yeah, in fact, because I got a tri-blend, there's a couple of different varieties that are coming in, and one of them is like a foot and a half tall.
Tall. Jeez. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Another thing that I've printed.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Shower heads.
Shower heads?
Yeah. You wouldn't think.
No.
But you can.
That's a really good idea.
Like, the shower head I had was, like, it was getting crusty. You know what I'm talking about? That
they do.
Like, the lime starts building up.
It gets lime scale, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm gonna print me a new one.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I did.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And the water pressure... has been great.
Is good? Oh, okay. Yeah, good.
Yeah, like... Yeah.
Better than previous?
Oh yeah.
I'm especially interested in the the nonsense that I can print.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to be more practically minded about it. I'm trying to think shower heads and shelving units and desks and you know, things like that. But the urge to print just
full on fucking nonsense is very strong.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the resin printers are better for printing the nonsense, though.
Yeah. And because of the smoothness, or
yeah, like you get less layer lines.
Sure.
So they're easy to like paint and stuff like that.
Okay.
I mean, if you get layer lines, can you like sand it down or something?
You can.
Sanding is an option.
You gotta sand it. You can also like try and heat.
Mm-hmm. That is also an option. One of the weirder ones that I've seen is that you suspend it over a bottle cap full of nail polish remover with a dome over it.
Yeah. And
that the acetone attacks the peaks of the layer lines.
Yeah.
And causes them to melt smooth.
Vapor smoothing, I think is what they call it.
Yeah, you can't leave it in there for long.
Yeah. And
otherwise,
there'll
be nothing left to come back to.
Right.
Yeah.
What I've heard, it was IPA. Not pale ale, but isopropyl. Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah. I would have to. I'd have to try that. I know that acetone works for some of the plastics, but probably not for all of them.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I but suppose then, like yeah. maybe like it's ABS for with acetone and.
Could easily be. Yeah.
Anyway.
But that's fantastic. No, yeah. That all sounds great.
Nerd stuff.
Should we take a break?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I've found this conversation fascinating, so I'm like, yeah. We could just keep going. But once somebody declares break.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say no to like, break.
Aw, now I need to pee.
Yeah, I could potty.
Yeah.
All right.
I could close up my windows and turn on my AC for a few.
Also a good idea.
All right.
Well.
We'll be back.
Let's do that.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. Olive Garden, that's too fancy for me.
Ah, oh,
it's a Perkins.
Oh, shit. That is a thing I can talk about for what I've been watching.
Oh, no.
Now I got to know. And we're back. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Steve.
All right.
Yay. No. So something I watched. That will speak to everybody on this podcast and many who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Ren Faire.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. For those that don't know about this atrocity unto mankind.
But also, it's a glorious atrocity.
It's awkward, man. It's a docu-fantasia?
Yes.
I think is what it is. So, like, there's real elements.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some fantastical elements.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hyper-realized.
It is extra hyper. Well, look, when your documentary has an imaginary dragon as a representation of somebody's subconscious.
Yes.
That is very hyper realized. Like that is that is beyond.
So it's like a docudrama, but plus a little.
Yeah, like man, and there were some elements that were very, very real about it, but the overall, for those who don't know about it, Ren Faire is a docu-fantasia based on some efforts that were made a few years ago for the owner of the Texas Renaissance Festival, George, to sell his festival. Spoiler warning, He still owns the festival. And it is all about weird, awkward power struggle in who's going to get the festival. And the answer is no one. George keeps it. But
it sounds weird. It never would happen.
No, that's completely unreal. But like, so here's the thing. I don't know George as a person. I don't know. I've heard a few stories. But the way he comes across in this docu-fantasia is exceptionally unhinged.
Miraculously unhinged, I believe is the term.
Yeah, miraculously unhinged. And he's looking for, so this is a guy that's like 85 years old in the documentary. And I use the term loosely. And he's literally on like sugar daddy websites trying to find a companion.
Oh, wow.
And he keeps taking his dates to Olive Garden.
Yep.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm just like, oh, buddy. He'll ask like, so are your breasts real or fake? Like maybe three sentences into this date, right? And like, you know, one lady was like, oh, they're real. And like the next lady was like, no, mine are fake. And I'm fine with that. And he was like, well, we're done here. Like just cuts it.
Wow.
Like just things like that. And I mean, to a certain extent, I guess if you're going to know what you want and be that shallow about it, don't waste anybody's time. You're doing her a favor, really. So.
By announcing what kind of person you are? Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. But like, well,
Jesus.
And there's discussion around middle management. There's a guy that first has to fire his wife, then he gets fired, then he gets
general manager,
but on a different level. Like all of this stuff, then somebody else gets fired.
The general manager who used to be the artistic director, and this is his first year being the general manager, and his wife is now the acting assistant director. This sounding familiar.
God damn.
Uh-huh.
And who has to now fire the acting assistant director because she's the wife, and they don't want to have that dynamic.
The nepotism?
Exactly. Specifically, the word nepotism comes into play.
A lot. Oh my god.
And then the Lord of Corn,
which is a glorious title. Like I'm not mad about that title, but yeah.
Sure.
Then the Lord of Corn wants to buy out the festival. Yeah. And
he's the kettle corn owner.
Yep.
Sure.
And he's taken the kettle corn business and bought up like a bunch of other like satellite stops.
Mm-hmm.
So he's diversified, kind of like CKC-esque, just...
Yeah. So, yeah. No, the whole thing is bizarre. And there is a lot that some people might think is hyper-realized, and no, that's just how things are. And there is a lot that is hyper-realized that people might think that's how the way things are, but no, that's actually super hyper-realized, right? Like, there is a fucked up which thing are we going to accentuate type thing. And it makes it hard for anybody wanting to actually learn about the Renfest subculture.
Right.
To learn anything substantial. There are some lovely moments in it. All of the B-roll stuff, like they don't have a lot of it and I wish they had more of it.
Yeah.
More of the behind the scenes, more about the performers and the vendors and the actual day-to-day worker stuff that goes on.
A lot of that is seen through the eyes of the Lord of Corn.
Yeah, and it's just, it's not great.
I can't remember his real name, but... why do you need to know his real name when... Oh, yeah, because there was the joke about King Louis taking over.
Yep. But it's still, like, you see it through this one dude's eyes, but he's definitely not representative of the whole
Except for the chugging of Monster Energy drinks.
I was just about to say, yeah, like, this dude is consistently either chugging an energy drink or pouring it into his wooden mug. To carry
to then chug it,
and that is the most real thing about this entire thing.
Yeah, like, that's some really real shit. Yeah,
I say that. I took that from Jacques Zouipère. Does a wonderful review of it, and I do highly recommend it. But like when Joe and I were watching it, Joe was like, "Well, that's real." And I'm like, yeah, see, everybody who's ever worked at Ren Faire is like, well, that part's real. So yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, if you've got time to kill.
Yeah. You know those, like, unsolved mystery hyper-dramatizations?
Yeah. The fact or fiction starring Jonathan Frakes.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
But what I was going to say, if you've got time to kill, maybe. Why not, I guess. If you're looking for factual information on the subculture of Ren Faires, abso-fucking-lutely not. It's not played as insane as it could be played, which I appreciate.
Sure. Yeah.
Like,
it is
didn't have any
Uncanny Valley in some
pirates.
A lot of
yeah.
ways. It's just close enough for you to go at you. Mm-hmm.
Well, because there have been a series of episodes in different sitcoms that deal with the Renfest, particularly.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
King of the Hill had their episode. Family Guy had their episode.
Yeah.
And The Simpsons absolutely must have at some point had a Renfest mm-hmm. episode.
Loki had an episode.
Yes. Oh.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Shit, I gotta go back and watch it.
I think it was based off of, I think it was filmed at like Pennsylvania Fair.
Yeah, huh. That sounds correct. Yeah.
But yeah, it's I've been really hesitant to dig into this because it sounds like an extremely watchable trash fire.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at one point Joe was like, I don't want to watch this anymore because it's just kind of sad.
Mm.
Like, yeah, I getcha. That was about halfway in through season one or episode one. I was like, yeah, it's not building well, we're not getting good representation. Like, I understand where he was like, oh, this is just kind of sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I watched that.
Oh, yeah.
Bridgerton drop happened.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I binged the shit out of that. Mm-hmm. And then I did it again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I loved it. I think there's a lot of commentary that's happening on it. And because it is less than a week out, I don't really want to do a lot of spoilers, but I will say that some of the commentary is bullshit. Okay. Just there's some LGBT commentary that's kind of bullshit. And
be going around.
And there's some commentary on too many storylines, which I do actually kind of agree with, or at least too much time focused on storylines that didn't need as much time as they were given.
Sure.
To get their point across. And to feel full. It's one specific thing that I do kind of want to talk about, but like, it just hasn't been out long enough for me to feel comfortable going with a spoiler free on that. So
fair.
So yeah, there's one that I'm like, well, now I have mixed emotions because it does deal with LGBT stuff, but I don't want to the elements that I'm frustrated with aren't actually about the LGBT aspect of it. So now I'm just like, what do I do? But yeah, I did finally get the rest of my Bridgerton. I got to see the rest of the story that I wanted. And honestly, like, the wrap up on it was pretty fucking good. Like, hitting that peak wrap on that main storyline, I was like, one of the things people talk about is how it diverges from the book series.
Okay.
So some people get upset about it because they're like, but I just wanted to see my books visualized. And I'm like,
sure.
Books are.
No.
If you want to see that, then you need to do the effort of visualizing it. That's how books book. And some people are like, oh, they're going too far. And some people are like, oh, they're not going far enough. And I'm like, they've probably hit the sweet spot on that. But there are some shifts where there's one point in a story that happens in the book where somebody stands up for somebody else.
Okay.
Like, a guy swoops in and stands up for the woman. In this, like, where that would have happened in the book, it's actually the woman stands up for herself, like, those kinds of things. That I actually really appreciate. The Bridgerton series includes Queen Charlotte as a player in the ton. Like, she pokes at and interacts with the lords and ladies. In the books, she's just kind of a person that exists, but she's not. We don't see storylines. We don't see or hear much of anything about her other than, like, royal decrees or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I do love the inclusion of Queen Charlotte in much of this. And she's played by Golda, who is just fucking incredible. So, yeah. I personally like it. Also, it gets a little steamy sometimes. My favorite is people who complain about it being too steamy, and then people that are like, it's not nearly as steamy as it is in the books. And I'm like, oh my god, you guys, figure out what you're mad at. Just figure out what you're mad at.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Bridgerton.
Oh, yes. Oh,
all right.
Series 14 of Doctor Who.
Hell yes, I was just gonna say.
All right. I haven't been keeping up on my Doctor Who. I wanted to wait for more to drop so that I could binge proper.
Next week is the finale, so or this upcoming week. So, but there is a Bridgerton episode.
Yes,
they go back to the 18 whatevers.
Somethings.
Oh fuck yes. Okay. Well.
Yeah, and it's literally a Bridgerton episode.
It is.
Oh my god. All right. I'm in. I'm excited now.
Yeah, like, I don't know how much I want to talk about Doctor Who. Mm. A, because Jenna hasn't seen it. And
right.
B, because...
Huge spoiler, bitch. Yeah.
But this last episode makes me shake my fist. Like,
yeah,
that cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, illegal cliffhanger?
Yeah.
God damn it.
It was, like I said, there's still one more episode in the series, so hopefully they wrap it up. But man, that was,
yeah, it is.
Not punch right
since
in the dick.
They found Data's head has there been such a
yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh shit! All right. I might have to talk to Joe about popping.
Especially if you know enough of the, if you know enough of the Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, Joe and I have seen all of the new Who up to Nchuti.
Right.
And I have watched, I want to say I watched the first episode and then I realized like, oh man, I don't want to be, I'm just going to put this on the back burner for a bit until.
Yeah, sure. I think I watched so at least half a season of Judy's. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I fell off and I'm just getting back into it because it's on the Disney Plus now. So.
Yeah, it is. Disney Plus, what?
I can actually watch it without finding it.
Yar, har, fiddle-dee-dee.
In the streets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like finding a $20 bill.
In addition to, in addition to it being featured in a Doctor Who episode, Jenna will be very pleased to know that I had watched a bunch of the first season when it first came out and kind of I was like, okay, Bridgerton? I get it. Yeah, I get it. It's not for me, and it doesn't have to be.
Sure.
Yeah, right. It is well made. It's just not my speed.
Yeah, the production on Bridgerton is incredible.
It's gorgeous.
The dresses, the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. The fact that they bring in like Vitamin String Quartet to do various covers and
the dialogue, the situations, all of that. Mm-hmm. It's superbly done.
Yeah.
Well, that being said, it's not my cup of tea.
there is like in the first season, there is one specific thing that happened that I was like, ugh. I don't like that at all. As a part of the story. And I don't really watch season one as much. Season two is more my jam. And Queen Charlotte is incredible. It's a little sad, but it is glorious. Yeah. So I can see how season one might not be everybody's cup of tea. And season three, it's my favorite so far. Overall,
nice.
I feel like I connect with the main romantic lead more on season three, although there are definitely season two aspects I connect with.
Are they planning to go indefinitely, or do they have a finite arc that they're covering?
There are 8 books.
Yes.
And so they are planning to hopefully, I don't know how far contract goes. I know they have at least a season 4. I think they have a 4 and a 5 set contractually. And I'm sure the hope is to go into, go through all of the books. Each book focuses on a different Bridgerton kids, romantic whatevers, right?
Gotcha.
So there are plans for all of that, or at least the possibility of all of that. I think that's the hope. And then they have also set up a few very lovely opportunities for side stories. Queen Charlotte is definitely one that they brought in and did that is not of the books.
I saw that it looked like they had like a mini series. Or something on Queen Charlotte. Is that correct?
I mean, I would call it like it's its own thing, but I would call it a part of the Bridgerton experience, for lack of a better term. It's
okay.
Almost
like a Frasier to Cheers.
Kind of more like that. Yeah, like it still hits the same formula as the rest of the Bridgerton series.
Sure.
I guess spinoff, maybe, but like, yeah. I mean, it's only ever going to be the one season, so maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
It's an OVA.
Yeah.
So,
I have been pouring through a couple of different things. I watched the available amount of Star Wars Acolyte.
Yes.
Which
I'm not yet interested.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I can't say more than that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that I definitely felt I would wait for it to drop before I started looking into it.
I'm not there's
concerned about spoilers about that because I'm not overly excited about it, really.
I feel like I
haven't heard a lot or whatever, but
choreography maybe so. Is good. I've enjoyed the choreography.
Yeah,
like the fight choreography. I posted a link for you at one point, Jetta.
Yeah, I saw that you posted that and then got distracted by work.
I think the actors are really good, think that the direction is solid, and I appreciate how they are expanding the universe because this feels very separate from everything else. You're not going to get a C-3PO cameo. You're not going
to
see Chewbacca, which although the Mandalorian,
he's still alive. He's alive in this time. So.
Yes, that's true.
You could see Yoda and Chewbacca just show up.
That is true. I, having been a fan of Star Wars for a very long time, as I'm sure both of you will understand, there has been a tendency in the series to loop in known characters to involve the existing, especially the original trilogy characters.
Yes.
With whatever else is happening, sometimes as a way to give it context, but also sometimes as a way to just give people something to fan about.
Mandalorian season 2.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And so I feel like there is a lot of that. But that means that when they have these side stories that there is an interest in it for me that is seeing the universe get bigger.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this has a lot of things that they have talked about, especially in the games.
Yeah.
But there are some really good, especially like socio-political comments in all of it.
The High Republic has definitely been talked about in like games.
Yeah.
But it's always been from the viewpoint of somebody who hasn't been there.
Yeah.
Like, it's been like somebody from the Empire era talking about the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Or the
well, and even when we see the when we see the Republic in the prequel trilogy, we're seeing it from the point of view of that society.
Right.
Which in any society, you know, they tend to paint themselves as objectively good. They tend to, you know, label bad things as mistakes, but not necessarily apologize for them. And there's a lot of, I think, really insightful commentary that is available. I don't know that they're going to get into it.
I will say
an Acolyte, but it feels like they have the opportunity for it.
Yeah. I will say to your point on that.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, Clone Wars?
Mm-hmm.
Did some of that with Ahsoka's storyline.
Yeah.
Which was nice, like, was it season 4 or 5, where, like, the council messed up, and Ahsoka called him on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Clone Wars, I think, is where you started seeing a lot of more of the, maybe this isn't a good thing.
Mm. Right.
And then things starting to stem from that. But yeah, Acolyte definitely is showing more of that.
Yeah. Moving away from the...
Yeah.
Well, and especially there is a particularly... And this is not really my point to make, but there's kind of a colonist mindset about the Republic.
Oh, yeah. And
about a lot of aspects of Star Wars that we're really enthusiastic about. And it is nice to see those things at the very least put up for examination.
Like, one of the big things you see is the Republic thinking the entire galaxy is the Republic.
Right. Mm.
And you kind of see a lot of pushback on that in some of the newer series, especially Acolyte.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. I like it. I like it a lot. So there's been that. I've been watching a shitload of Ted Lasso. It is hilarious. It is genuine. I love it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, my guess is that I would love it. I'm not getting Apple TV, so
yeah,
fair.
It's like, I'm really sad, but I have enough services. I'm not gonna get that one. But I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah. I think that if we find a way to watch it together or something like that, you're going to be about it. There has been that. And then the new seasons on Dropout TV are also launching. They've got a couple of new shows that are fucking great. Obviously, Game Changer is always going to be amazing. Actually now is adjudicated by Ify Wadaway, one of the premier contestants from the previous seasons, and a brand new expert that they brought in for fact checking, and it's still absolutely incredible. 10 out of 10, do recommend. They have a brand new show called Smarty Pants Society, which reminded me of PowerPoint Karaoke, except that they are making the ludicrous slides ahead of time, but they are no less full of complete nonsense, because the subjects are as completely fucking bonkers as PowerPoint Karaoke subjects.
Okay.
Some of our favorites, without, you know, getting too much into them and spoiling them, have been pro wrestling is a drag performance.
I mean, people that dress very
Jesse Ventura, Hulk Hogan,
or maybe wearing little to nothing at all, having personas and
very burlesque chains
that are not their own. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of playing with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a chair is involved. I get it. Makes
feather
sense.
Boas, yeah. But the performer talks about it for about 10 minutes and just continually makes an increasingly strong argument about why this is the case. Another one that was presented that we absolutely loved was cartoon characters that are invited to the cookout.
Porky Pig, of course.
Well,
Hank Hill
invited to the cookout, being a kind of a culturally black way to say that somebody is an ally.
Oh,
Porky Pig, of course.
Right. but the some of the people that they mention are like Master Splinter, who, although not black, is raising four black sons. You know, that kind of thing. Like, there's it's absolutely incredible.
All right.
Strongly recommend. Yeah, Smarty Pants Society. It is shocking in a good way, and like weirdly smart for what ends up being a long string of dick and fart jokes pretty often.
Nice.
So definitely recommend that. Thousandaires is another show that has come up on there, where they give each of the contestants $1,000 to spend in the most impressive way that they can. And so it can be things like getting a lesson to tutor you in a subject that you then do. It can be giving an artist an opportunity to do something professionally. It can be, okay. Like, there are so many different.
So not getting my car fixed.
Right. I mean, I could see somebody on Thousandaires pitching, fixing their car with $1,000 in order to take everybody on a road trip. But whatever it is that they're doing has to be shown, pitched, performed, you know, whatever thing. It has to sort of be sold to the other Thousandaires in a kind of a Shark Tank style way there in the studio. So it's
reminds me of amazing. The snake oil game
a little bit. Yeah. It's, it is weirdly like playing snake oil, but they have gone and actually bought something.
Nice.
Often something completely fucking ludicrous. And then as a result,
they bought ludicrous
for $1,000.
Yeah. But the host changes each show, but the host decides who of the other four is the winner and then awards them a prize worth $1,000 that the host has selected.
Gotcha.
And it's fun. It's good. And it is not at all thoughtful, but it is sort of introspective.
Stretches the brain in different ways.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that has also been incredible. And then we watched, I didn't think that I was going to like the show that they did, Very Important People, because it seemed very cringe comedy. Okay. But it is, there are times where it is very cringeworthy, but there are also times where you're watching two completely brilliant people improvise and play off of each other. And the season finale of it sold me on the show, weirdly. I've seen, I want to say like three or four episodes, two of them after watching the season finale. So, okay. Yeah. I do recommend. That's what I've been watching. And then I finally finished playing a game called Gris, I believe.
I think it's
Greece.
There's been some debate on whether it's supposed to be Italian or French.
Gotcha.
If it's French, it's Gris.
Yeah.
If it's Italian, it's Greece.
Yeah, it's GRIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, for gray.
And it is the elevator pitch is you are playing as a character who is trying to restore color to the world. One color at a time. It is a platformer. And kind of a puzzle platformer in the way that you have to figure out how to navigate from one space to another space. But that does not encapsulate fully how jaw-droppingly gorgeous the game is. And I want to say that it's probably 3 or 4 hours long. So it's very achievable. I've just been playing it in like 5 and 10 minute segments since I bought my Nintendo Switch. I think that was like the second or third game that I bought. And I just happened to have it on the big TV last night and did not realize that I was at the end of the game, but I played the end of the game there with me and Jax.
Crying your eyes out.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's beautiful, not in just the art style, but in the emotion that it brings up.
Yes. Yeah, it is a strongly and strangely emotional game.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's
I might put that one on the list for
Steam. Yeah, it's a good one to that would be a good stream game for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like.
So you mentioned Acolyte, and it reminded me that I watched not too long ago Tales of the Empire.
Hmm.
Which is the, like, 6 short episodes about a couple characters. One was Morgan Elspeth from Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was, what's her name? In Clone Wars, she ended up being, like, someone who turned dark side.
Mm-hmm.
The one who Ahsoka was blamed for.
I'd have to rewatch it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes through the story of those. And it is very much in the same vein of, like, expanding the world. It's in the same, like, timeline as the other stuff, but it expands a bit more on the Night Sisters with Morgan Elspeth, and expands more on the Inquisitors with the other character. Because the other character... Spoilers, Empire fall, the Republic falls not too shortly after.
Man, I hadn't watched it yet.
And so she gets pulled out of prison and given the opportunity to become an Inquisitor. So you've got three parts of her Inquisitorial storyline.
Okay.
And then Morgan Elspeth's storyline of being born on Dathomir and seeing the fall of Dathomir and how that affected her and pushed her dark. And then you've got the opposite going from the other side. So you've got a story of turning to darkness and then a story of redemption. And it does a really good job of, like, not throwing... not giving you the lead character syndrome.
Sure, sure. Where you just feel like somebody's got plot armor and...
yeah.
We're going to throw a bunch of obstacles in this person's path, and then we're going to
And I
resolve
mean, like,
the ones that we remember.
You know Morgan Elspeth is going to survive, but...
Sure.
It's more about, like, the transformation of herself.
Reminds me very much of the... kind of the construction of, like, Rogue One, where you know the rest of the story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But learning this story is also important and good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with the other side of it, nobody knows what happened to her after after Clone Wars. So that was, like, one of those, what is going to happen to her? And I'll leave that for the viewers to...
Ooh.
But yeah, watch that. Interesting. I figured I'd just mention that because you mentioned Acolyte.
Yeah.
And it's a neat little 6-part, I think, half an hour piece. So you can finish it in a day if you
Yeah.
Put your nose to the grindstone or, and let's see, I've been watching like a lot of little things here and there. We talked about Doctor Who.
Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic season.
Oh God.
Right. This has been the best season since probably one of the Tennant seasons, I want to say. Like, I don't think a Matt Smith has come close to it yet.
I mean,
I
did like Matt Smith.
Oh yeah,
there were a lot of characters in the Matt Smith arcs that I absolutely loved. But I will say this feels.
I would say this is kind of in the Amy Pond.
Yeah.
Category of like.
This one feels a lot less dark in some ways. It feels like they're handling weighty.
Yeah. Thing, yeah.
But it feels like they're not getting like Artax Swamp of Sadness.
Right.
Sunk into them.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so, been more fun. Yeah.
So there's that.
But also, yeah.
What have you been playing, Steve?
What have I been playing? I've been playing an old game lately with a friend. Trine.
Which one?
Trine.
Trine.
Yes.
Oh.
It is... You know the Three Dwarfs game where each dwarf has like a different ability?
No.
Yeah, anyway. Huh? Well then, there's three different characters.
Mm-hmm.
Each has a different ability.
Mm-hmm.
There's the rogue who has a bow and a grappling hook.
Hmm.
And so can like cling to anything wooden and swing across.
Mm.
And can shoot a bow.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the wizard who can summon cubes.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the fighter who does fighty stuff.
Yeah.
His main thing is, I have shield. I can block projectiles. I can...
Gotcha.
And it's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
You're trying to get from one end of dungeon to the other, essentially.
Reminds me, based on your description, reminds me of Ico, or Ico, for the PlayStation 2, 3, and 4, where you, as the one of the two main characters, are trying to lead another character through hazards and fend off enemies, and the puzzle of it is getting the other character to the place that you can reach very easily,
right?
Because you cannot open the doors, only she can open the doors, but that means that you have to, but she also can't like scale cliffs and climb long free ropes and things like that.
It's that you have to swing across a vine to pull the lever to drop the bridge so that she can.
Right. Yeah.
And wasn't that by the same people who did Shadow of the Colossus?
Yes. As a matter of fact, those two games are in the same universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were specified how they're linked, but I think it was mentioned that they are in the same universe. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so trying, you've got that, and then you've got different puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Get from point A to point B, and it could be something like you need the wizard to make a block on top of these spikes so that you can jump onto the block and not get hurt by the spikes.
Mm-hmm.
Or make a block so that you can get up higher. The rogue could do the same thing, but shoot a grappling into the wood and then swing up higher.
Mm-hmm.
There's traps where like things shoot out of the ceiling so the fighter can sit there and shield up.
Sure.
So that the other people can walk across.
Hmm.
And it is a, what do they call it? Co-op or,
couch co-op?
Couch co-op. But it's virtual couch co-op.
Sure.
On Steam.
Yeah.
So, like,
kind of like
me and a friend have been playing it, and it's just been, yeah, it's been fun because it's been, apparently there's like five of them now, but, but yeah, it's been fun doing that. Also been playing, gotten back into Valheim with the new updates.
What?
Oh,
with somebody else.
Never heard of it.
Hmm.
The Mistlands dropped a while back, and the Ashlands have just dropped. We're still pushing through the Mistlands. We're getting...
And soon the Brocklands.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know. We're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
I think the biggest thing right now is making all the toys.
Yeah, we have found the means of production. We just need to do the producing.
We have seized the means of production.
I mean, we may have tried to tackle things before we had the things we were supposed to have to tackle them in the first place. James knows nothing.
Sort of.
Yeah, no, sounds unfamiliar to me.
Sort of, except you need to get to the things through the things in order to get to the things that you need to get the things to do the things that you think that you need the things for.
That made absolute sense to me, and I'm a little nervous about that.
Yeah, thank you. Weirdly same.
Yeah.
Sort of Metroidvania-like, yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
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 Like, it feels like you had to push through Death Zone in order to get to the piece that you needed in order to successfully tackle Death Zone.
Yeah. The thing that makes it easier, yeah.
Well, and so when we played last Wednesday, because Steve, Jessa, and I play every Wednesday, or many Wednesdays, for our family game night. We stream
at 7 Central.
We could...
On Twitch.tv/AuntieIla and Twitch.tv/JezzaRed and Twitch.tv/... Try and spell it. X-J-E-R-E.
Because
I have the best names.
I feel like you, at one point... Oh, yeah. Is Jer.
In reality, it was not meant to have a pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was done in the time of the internet before...
In voice the chat before was a, times.
But before voice chat was really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is when that name started up. Mm-hmm. And now there's voice chat, and everybody expects you to be, know how to pronounce it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But no, we've been playing that last Wednesday. I died a couple of times. It was very sad. I was like, "Is it safe?" And they're like, "Yeah, just don't get too close to the thing." And I couldn't even.
Apparently, there was a thing there that wasn't there ever before.
Ever before, it was one of those like, yeah, like all experience pointed to the fact that it would be safe for me to go over there and.
Surprise!
The things that I wanted, and yeah.
And then we learned like, an important lesson about safety. From
and I'm like, nope, it's right there where I want to be, and now it's coming at me. God damn it!
And Jenna is very much the farmer in games like these, the homesteader.
I'm the homesteader, and also like a hunter, but like from long distances. When I turn a corner and the monster is right the fuck there,
yeah,
I run away screaming, right? Like. I'm definitely a long distance person.
But yeah, we've been gathering materials to get things made at this point, is where we're
mine
at.
Additional minerals.
Exactly.
Yeah,
more you require more pylons.
We are currently digging into the skulls of Jotun to get their brain matter.
Ooh.
Because their brain matter is apparently magical.
That makes sense. In a weird, very fucked up kind of way. Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you think about it, the entire universe was made by one particular Jotun.
Mm-hmm.
According to Norse myth. Was it Gelnir or whatever his name was?
Sounds right. I want to say Gjallnir.
Anyway.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, yeah, we've been doing that, getting into scrapes along the way because bugs. We're in the land of bugs.
We are in the land of bugs.
And then hopefully we can get that part done soon and we can go into the Ashlands and then cry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm sure we've talked about Valheim and how the game is before.
A little bit.
It's fun. I enjoy
it. It's a survival buildy game where you try and kill Odin's...
Try to kill Odin's.
Other creations?
Apparently...
Mishaps?
Yeah, Valheim is like a jail.
Ah.
And so... Instead of taking us directly to... Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of gotten sidetracked into this jail place to destroy the evil creatures that have been jailed here.
Sure.
So we can earn our place in Valhalla.
Ah.
Yep.
So it is
gotcha.
build stuff.
Purgatory.
Yeah, exactly. Build stuff, get strong enough to face these things, squash them, which gives you the item that you need to progress further and get stronger. And squash the next thing.
Yep.
All right.
Which is also in its way very Metroidvania.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes and then all you of the, see Odin.
Sometimes you do see Odin.
And all of the grapple points and morphball tracks become apparent.
Exactly.
Yeah, nice. I think that's most of what I've been up to. We
probably wrap on this.
Yeah,
let's take a break and then we'll go to the outro.
What
the outro?
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Should we be back?
I'm James.
We didn't know. That was me prompting you to say, and we're back.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Steve.
Close enough. And it's time for... Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Thank you.
Ba-ba.
Stefan? Rababa? Perhaps a Zestera? That's what it says.
Oh.
For the from field.
God damn. All right. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Opening thoughts. Nope, it's from Salsa. Hey everyone, I'm at the Black Hills Renaissance Festival, and even though I can't be there in person to podcast this week, I'm still going to make this about me.
Shit, he spoiled it. I spoiled the secret that he was going to tell you next week by telling you this week in a letter. That was where I think thought he was.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, question number one.
Ooh.
Okay, that's...
Going to have to do.
It's going to have to do. Yeah, that's it. Natural or crafted?
Natural or crafted?
Much of the time, I like natural artwork. I like things that... like
sunsets and butts.
Butts.
Crafted. Butts. Am I getting picked up? Butts.
Yeah.
The green light just probably show on.
Oh. I'm going to say, what kind of comedy do you laugh the hardest at? Things that happen naturally or things that have been carefully written and designed?
Here's the thing, is that it's always going to depend, because comedy is subjective. It's always going to depend on what the joke is and how it was executed, whether that is something that just happens or is crafted. But I respect and have great appreciation for a well-crafted joke that can make me laugh.
Yeah.
I would stick with crafted because I would rather see, like, Chaplin skating on the edge of a nothingness than Man Who Gets Kicked in the Balls.
Yeah.
Like, funniest home videos are okay.
Yeah.
But I would rather see the like, yeah. Especially, like, the early, like, vaudevillian.
I'm gonna go with, I would rather see the Grand Canyon than Mount Rushmore.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, that,
oh, wow. Good call. Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Dang.
Oh, and that fits with...
Jeez. All right. Yeah. Okay. You got it. I'm going with that. And I fucking hate the Corn Palace, so that works out perfectly.
The Lord of Corn.
Someday I'm going to meet the nice people who put together, like, put an enormous amount of work annually into making an absolutely gorgeous spectacle out of corn.
Yeah.
And making it into a palace and hosting and doing all of this other shit, like getting events together and that kind of stuff. And I'm going to feel bad for hating it as much as I do. But I still hate it. I still have a grudge against the Corn Palace.
I'm going to stick with crafted just to be contrarian.
Oh,
all right.
I'm still natural.
Anyway. No, you're not.
Question number two. See, it's not that easy, is it, James?
No, it's definitely not. Let me see if I can. Is there a... No.
You know what? It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. This one's good. Fine. We're doing it.
Paper or chrome?
Paper or chrome?
I like paper airplanes.
I like chrome airplanes. Well, I mean, not chrome airplanes, but like metal airplanes.
Right.
I would prefer to be in a cyberpunk dystopian universe than a dystopian universe where it's all like paper crafts.
See, I want the second.
Every rain you have to buy new clothes. It's
solar punk is really fucking happening. I like it.
I actually kind of prefer cyberpunk over solar punk. Too unrealistic, that solar punk.
I'm gonna go paper. I just like things in general with more of a paper natural kind of vibe.
I just don't really like the feel of paper.
Prefer writing out my stories and journaling on paper than I do on my Chromebook.
That's true. That's true.
I was pretty pleased with that one.
I can understand being pleased with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go with
I'll go with paper this time.
This time.
I'm just going opposite everybody then today.
Seems like.
Way to be contrarian. Question number 3.
That didn't make any sound.
All. Oh.
Nope.
Way to Tim Wick this. Kind of.
That didn't sound horrible from what little I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not getting
maybe a lot. Something like that.
Sure.
All right.
It made a noise at least.
It didn't. Yeah, at least there was a noise that time.
Mm-hmm.
Question number 3. Jane or Bill? I'm thinking Wild West.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to go Jane.
Calamity Jane or...
Jane. Yeah.
Billy the Kid.
Billy
or
the Kid.
Wild Bill Hickok.
No.
Yeah.
I mean Jane.
Yeah. Yeah, of course I'm going Calamity Jane.
The guest room at best friend former landlord Charles's parents' place had the dead man's hand in a shadow box, which is the aces and eights poker hand, known as the dead man's hand, because it was the last poker hand of Wild Bill Hickok. So I'm going to go Bill.
All right.
Kay.
I think that's fair. Question number 4. Good enough. Wall or corn?
Oh, God. Wall drug.
Wall drug.
Way more than
or corn.
Yeah. Corn palace. Ugh.
Corn palace.
Yeah. Yeah. Wall drug is actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wall drug.
I got a mortar and pestle there. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Aw. That's a good place to get a mortar and pestle, actually.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we went to Wall drug? And the one thing that I specifically remember of Wall drug is the guy selling derby caps. Rally caps. Huh. It was this guy who was just hawking for rally caps. Like, you could hear him
he was
a mile down the road.
For them?
Yes. It was like,
that reminds
$3
me.
Rally caps or something like that. It was... And the fact that he could be heard for as long as... Yeah.
Yeah. It was like,
John Hodgman became invested
to a Ren Faire
in the career of a young performer from a gas mart, one of those travel plexes that they have that has a truck stop and couple of restaurants and a gas
kinda
station
like
and just like a complex of different structures. Yeah, it had a little grocery store in it, and it had a fresh fruit area. A produce area in one corner of the little tiny gas station grocery store. And some guy was there hawking fresh bananas, and he was doing the fresh bananas here. And then he would waggle his fingers at them. And,
and
John was like, it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
He went full spirit fingers.
Not asking him his name or finding out more about him or anything like that. So if anybody is going between these two states and you stop at this particular area, and if the fresh bananas kid is there, give him my contact information, because I want to make that guy famous for his fresh banana salesmanship.
Yes.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So all three of us are well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
My apologies to people who work, I imagine, incredibly hard.
Oh, I'm sure.
Creating the Corn Palace, but fuck that place.
Well, also, yeah. You just
have a cornhole in your heart.
Aww.
No. No, I have a corn wall in my heart.
Wonderwall?
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Question number 5.
5, 5, 5, 5.
I'm 5 already.
Yep.
Dang.
To or from?
Is it better to travel
from.
to South Dakota or from South Dakota?
Well, I mean, that would definitely be from, but I think the question is more when going on a trip, mm-hmm. do you try to do all of your sightseeing along the way to the destination of where you're trying to get to? So while you're headed to there, or do you do more of your sightseeing on the way back from there?
Oh, definitely on the way back.
And I would go from.
Yeah. Because it's been vacations that I've taken with the family are where I first went to Spring Green, Wisconsin, and saw the House on the Rock. Okay. And also, on the way back, we would always, it was a tradition when we were coming through that part of Wisconsin, we would stop at a cheese shop, one very particular cheese shop. And it wouldn't really work to do that on the way out because of refrigeration availability.
Oh, sure.
Right. Things like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, there's something just, like, really satisfying about being on the trip home and stopping and doing weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because well, you're not quite ready for the vacation to be over.
The itinerary is get to a place.
Right.
And after you get to a place, you can come home. Mm-hmm. I also see this as a, do you prefer going out to a place or come, like, do you feel better going out to a place or coming back from that place? And there is no place like home, really.
Hmm. No, that's why you want to see them. If it was all the same, well, why bother?
I'm going with my context, and I'm going to say from.
I mean, yeah. From is for either context for me, so.
No, yeah. the for your context, it would be too. For me. I like going out and doing things.
I'm a hermit.
I know.
Say hi to Herman for us.
James?
From.
To or from? From? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And now, to open the second portion of this one email, because the form is really cool and puts it all in one space. Let's see. Question number one, natural or crafted? Which Marvel do you prefer? Would you rather see?
Nice call.
Badlands or Mount Rushmore?
Badlands.
Ooh, still Badlands. There's fuck something off, about Mount that Rush. Open.
I find the Badlands eerie.
I can see that.
I'm not against it.
But don't you find Mount Rushmore eerie?
In
a bad way.
I find it overly clustered. Yeah, I just,
I love being able to look in any direction and see nothing but horizon, personally. Which sounds contradictory for an agoraphobic person, but whatever.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, question number two, paper or chrome? Which famous Black Hills event do you prefer, would you rather see? The Deadwood Shootouts or the Sturgis Bike Rally?
Oh, yeah, paper. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd rather like, see the Deadwood Shootouts.
Sturgis seems like wild and free and fun in some ways, and as a younger man, I probably would have been all about it. But
I'm still on the fence here.
I feel like it is mostly about drinking and brawling and
getting maybe tattooed. I have to switch to drinking and brawling staring, because those are things I like.
Staring at tattoos and bikes and stuff like that. It's not the worst, but it just doesn't, I don't know.
Like, what's the premise behind the shootout? Like, what things, actual activities happen?
Probably reenactments, not like Civil War reenactments, but like...
Yeah, like Old Westy, like the High Noon shootout thing. Yeah, I could take that or leave that.
Let's
and it's a thing that you could probably see anytime you go there?
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like...
Okay, the Deadwood Alive Troupe is here to entertain. Watch free shows like the Main Street Shootouts. Take a ride in the historic Deadwood Stagecoach. There's more. But yeah.
Feels like a Valley Fair type of
sounds
event.
Sounds pretty like... Yeah. Something that
there's nothing that's unique. I mean, it itself is unique, but like it's going to be the same things. Aside from like maybe like a street performer here and there.
I mean,
whereas like the rally, you don't know what you're going to get. Which in itself is exciting as fuck.
No. I think if I only go to one of these once, I'd rather go to the shootouts. Because I do have that. I want to see the historical reenactment, learn about shit kind of thing.
Sure.
But if I had to go year after year, I might lean more towards Sturgis.
I think I'm going to stick with Chrome for me.
All right.
As odd as it sounds.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Question number three, Jane or Bill? Which famous resident of Deadwood do you find more interesting? Calamity Jane or Wild Bill Hickok?
More interesting? Probably Calamity Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just fucking interesting ass life. Also, good honor. Jesus.
Yeah.
Seriously. Okay, question number four. Wall or corn? Which famous South Dakota landmark do you prefer? Would you rather visit? Wall Drug or the Corn Palace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
Wall Drug.
Corn think
Palace
any of
also
our...
doesn't have fun bumper stickers and signs all over the world.
It's true.
There is that. And then question number five, to or from... Do you prefer the excitement of leaving for a trip or the relief of returning to the comforts of your own home?
Sounds like somebody called that one.
No idea.
So somebody might have called that one.
Somebody?
Oh. Hmm.
I'm not going to name any names.
Was it
somebody once?
They once told me.
I would say I love coming back home and that kind of stuff, but I
like leaving.
I love going. I love seeing other places. I've been to six different countries.
I mean, I feel like it's two different kinds of... I'm not excited to come back home. There is sometimes a relief of, well, I did the thing.
The best feeling in the world for me is dropping my luggage off in the front room. Collapsing on a couch and went and going, I did something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think for me, I get very excited about that. I'm going to go do things.
Even just
the older I get, I mean, coming back home has a bit more of a relief to me. But sure. Like, no, I like going out. I like doing shit.
Yeah, I think that kind of plays into like my anxieties. Like, I'm pretty cognitive, anxious person. What could happen sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm an extrovert, so I don't get to fill up unless I go out. If that makes sense.
Right. So the going out to things, anything could happen, but when you're home... You know you've done the thing, and you've had fun doing the thing, and now you get to kind of have it in your memory and be at home just relaxing.
Yeah.
And feeling accomplished that you did the thing.
If I base my excitement on how easy it is to get work done, I would say I'm a lot more excited about going, because I will do like a week and a half of prep work in 2 to 3 days. Getting ready to go on vacation and be gone for however long, I will. I'll gladly do that. And then coming back to work after a time away sucks. even though I love my job, even though my coworkers are great, coming back to work from vacation sucks. So I would say to rather than from.
That's fair.
If you're gonna bring work into it.
Ugh, that. all right. Closing thoughts. You can take the salsa out of the South Dakota, but you can't get all of the South Dakota out of the salsa. No matter how hard he really tries to get it out. Get it out. Get it out. If you would like to send a Fast Five, go to the AON website, aonpodcast.com. Click on the link for Submit a Fast Five. Fill out the form and hit submit. It's really that fucking easy. I have no idea how many Fast Fives we have in the hopper. My guess is zero. So,
zero. Always assume they need more.
Always assume. And I mean, I do feel like in the very beginning, Stefan Rababa, Azastera, perhaps.
Azastera.
Those names have been called out very specifically. So maybe think about that. Who has a shout out?
I do.
All right, go ahead.
Shout out to They Might Be Giants. Those cool guys are in their 60s and they're still putting on real fun, super dorky concert. And I had a blast. An even bigger, louder shout out to Garrick for securing tickets and giving me the gift of getting to see that wonderful concert.
Yeah. Steve, you got any shout outs?
To Thingiverse.
Thingiverse?
It is a website that hosts a lot of different 3D print models. It's all open source, Creative Commons on some level, usually. Either with attribution or non-attribution. It says it right in the thing of each file. And it's just a great place to just find things. And their search works well to find specific things you might be looking for. I've found things I did not ever expect to find in there. Like, I've got a Chinese sewing machine, a shoe patcher, and I found a spare foot that I could print off, or something that converts it so that it holds the different types of thread. Things like that. So, and you don't expect to just find those, but you do.
No, that's awesome.
And it's just kind of cool to see just like such an open source project where like you can find so much out there in just one website.
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool.
It is a unique place that harkens back, as we said, to the better days of the internet.
I want to give a shout out to air conditioning.
Indeed.
Here's the problem. It was ungodly hot yesterday and my AC units were not installed yet.
No.
And my landlord was busy hosting a graduation party for his kids. So, Yeah, it was toasty, and it made me appreciate the world of air conditioning all the more.
Will they be installed by tomorrow?
I believe the landlord's going to be coming over tomorrow. I have to go check on that.
Because tomorrow's supposed to be another hot one.
Not as hot as it was yesterday.
I've seen different things depending on. It's been changing hour by hour.
I know. It's really annoying. But a shout out to air conditioning. I've missed you. Please come back to me.
I didn't mean what I said.
I take it all back. I was angry and upset.
It was rash.
I shouldn't have used those words. Anyway. Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
At the toward the end of the month, I believe it's going to be next Saturday. Next Sunday? Yes. No, sorry, the 23rd.
Next Sunday.
Let's do that. Next Sunday, Vilification Tennis will be doing Vilification Tennis Digging in the Garden. I strongly recommend, and I'm excited about that, but I am also excited to see people at Convergence. I'm going to start pitching these things pretty early. Party room, come get coffee.
Yes.
At the Jasmine Dragon, come get coffee.
8 a.m. until at least 1 p.m. Room 1, room 5116.
And then I will also, right now, I am aware of three other things that I am doing. One of them is Vilification Tennis at Convergence, which is always a blowout
event. Such an incredible show. Yeah.
I am deeply excited about doing that, especially because there is a possibility that we may have some of this year's winning amateurs with us, which is always, I am so excited for people to see them and see the work that they're doing, because they are incredibly funny. And then I'm also going to be doing a pickup line game show, where comedic pickup lines will be offered for various geeky topics.
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
And then the big fat quiz. I will be taking part in the big fat quiz, which is originally a British panel show, but a local performer is putting on a highly localized version of of the Big Fat Quiz, and I've done it twice so far. Once with Salsa, where we were the real Merkin heroes, as in a pubic wig. Real Merkin heroes.
Yeah.
And
I get it.
Then and then the second time I got to be on a team with my lovely spouse. Lovely and talented spouse. I'm very excited to see what the teams are going to be this year for this big fat quiz. And it's always funny and super fun. So I come see that. And then I may have more things eventually.
Ooh.
So. Yeah. We will find out.
At Convergence. I too will be hosting a party room.
Gasp.
But
which one?
Talked about that. I was gonna make one up off the fly, but no. The Jasmine Dragon party room.
The Chinchilla Zoo.
There we go. See. You could do this.
Chinchilla Cafe.
1990s EDM supergroup Chinchilla Zoo.
Actually, now I want the Herring Circus.
Oh.
And it would be a Golden Girls fan room.
Huh.
And if you don't know about this reference, look up Golden Girls Herring Circus. It is Betty White improvised an entire thing. And it is so good.
It is just wildly fucking good.
So good. Anyway, Jasmine Dragon, come get your caffeine needs with coffee and tea and cartoons of an avatar variety. And I will also recommend, although I'm not going to be directly involved in it, stopping in for the script read of I'll Be Home for Kalis. A very Hallmark parody.
Yeah.
Check that out. Mm-hmm. There might be a production coming up in the future. So go to the script read. There will be opportunities to get a discount on tickets for a future show. So do that thing. Do it. And then, I don't know, I do a thing with my brother every week, roughly, on Wednesdays. Maybe Steve wants to pitch that.
Yeah, I'll pitch that one.
Sweet.
First of all, though, I want to mention I'm now looking for property to buy so that I can make a chinchilla cafe.
All right. I think this is fair.
But also, me, my sister, and my niece all stream on Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
I already said the linky things. I'm sure the linky things will be in the show notes.
Probably.
Maybe. Eh. Who knows anymore?
Plus, it gets announced on our Discord server. So if you're not already a member of our Discord, get on it.
Go to the Discord.
Yeah.
I'm on the Discord. Why aren't you on the Discord?
I am.
Called out, motherfuckers.
All the cool kids are on the Discord.
And me too.
And also me. Are we good on plugs?
I'm not like specifically shooting for affiliate. One of the main like roadblocks for getting it is getting concurrent viewers. So if you ever want to just stop by and hang out and just watch, even just have it in the background.
Go follow Jer. And just have it open all the time he starts streaming.
Yeah.
There you go. So, that it? Nothing left to plug?
Think we're good.
In that case, I would like to say thank you to my little brother for joining us. I would like to say fuck you to Salsa for not being here, but thank you for the Fast Five. Are there any other comments left to be made?
Bye bye, love you, bye bye bye.
All right, on behalf of those of us here tonight, I would like to thank everybody for listening and eat the fucking cake. Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.